We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V.E. Howard.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Christ is not a human denomination. It is a divine institution because it belongs to Christ. The Lord established and bought it with His own precious blood. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus declared to Peter, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The church that Jesus established was His church. It belongs to Him. The Church of Christ belongs to Christ by right of ownership. He said, "I will build my church." The divine Son of God was the divine builder of His church. My church is Christ's church. Really, I have no church. You should have no church. Why be a part of some religious organization of human origin when Christ built His church and it is of divine origin? Why not be just a member of the Lord's church? A way that is so right that it cannot be wrong. Many denominations have been built by men, but Christ built only His church. Inspiration declared a long while gone, "Except Jehovah build the house, they labored in vain that built it." Psalms 127:1. The Church of Jesus Christ is not a denomination because of its divine origin. Every institution of human origin is a mortal institution. Christ, the divine Son of God, built His church upon the mighty solid rock of the fact of His divinity. The identity of this rock is revealed when Christ told the apostle that He would build His church. The apostle Peter had just confessed, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Matthew 16:16. Jesus replied, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Jesus declared that He would build His church upon a rock. What was the rock? Without question, the rock must refer either to Peter's clear confession of Christ or Christ's confession of Peter. Many religionists declare that Peter was the rock because the word Peter means rock or a stone. The original Greek language positively will not permit this interpretation because two different words are used in the passage. Jesus said, "Thou art Peter, Petros, and upon this rock, Petros, I will build my church." Matthew 16:18. Our Lord definitely did not say that He would build His church upon Peter, Petros, but declared that He would build upon the rock, Petros. The rock, Petra, upon which the church was built was the solid foundation and glorious fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, which Peter had confessed. The Church of Christ, therefore, was not built upon the weakness of mortal men, but upon the divine sonship of Christ. It must be observed further that the Apostle Paul declared, after the church had been established, "Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians 3:11. These facts force us to the inevitable conclusion that Christ's church was not built upon Peter as the rock, but upon the glorious and divine truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Attesting to this great truth was God Himself through the prophet Isaiah before the advent of Christ. God affirmed, "Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation." Isaiah 28:16. While our Lord was on earth, He applied this prophecy to Himself. Matthew 21:42. And later, the Apostle Peter also applied the prophecy to Christ, declaring, "He is the stone which was set at naught of you the builders, which was made the head of the corner." Acts 4:11. The Church of Christ was as certain to be established as Christ was the Son of God, and just as certain, Christ was to be the founder and the foundation of His church. Christ's promise to establish His church could not fail. As the Son of God, He pledged His life and His blood to establish His church. Death and Hades would not prevail against it. The Church of Christ could not exist without Christ as its divine foundation. There is no other foundation approved of God. Other foundations may support other churches, but not the Lord's church. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Are you listening? Not only would Hades be unsuccessful in prevailing against the Lord's church, but all the powers of Hades, for all time to come, would never prevail against or destroy Christ's church. The prophet Daniel declared, with reference to Christ's kingdom, that God would set up a kingdom which would never be destroyed. Daniel 2, verse 44. The church has suffered severe persecution in the past, and there may be unknown persecution in the future, but the enemies of the Lord's church will never successfully prevail against Christ's church. The sure foundation of God standeth. The church will be here when Christ returns. The Lord then will present His church, His kingdom, to God the Father, for an eternal abode in heaven where sorrows and persecutions will never invade the habitation of the saints of God. Paul declared, "Then cometh the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all power and authority." 1 Corinthians 15 and 24. To establish the true identity of the church and distinguish it from a denomination, it is important that we know the place and the time of the beginning of the Lord's church. Someone might ask, what difference does it make about the beginning of the church? My friends, it makes all the difference. Could one imagine a captain at sea without knowing the point of his beginning and not knowing the sea in which he was sailing? What would his compass be worth without a beginning point? It is true that he could sail to any point on the compass which it might call for, but he could not tell you where he was going nor when he would arrive, unless he had a definite place of beginning. Likewise, an engineer could not survey a line to determine deeds and titles and property rights without a beginning. There must be a beginning. The Church of Christ had a beginning. All denominations had their beginnings. Determine the time and the place of the beginning of Christ's church, and immediately you will be able to distinguish between the Church of Christ and a denomination. The beginning of the church is one mark of identification of the church. The time, the place, and the circumstances of the beginning of the denominations identify them as such. About 600 years before Christ came into this world, Daniel prophesied that a kingdom would be set up which would never be destroyed, a kingdom that he would establish during the days of those kings, the fourth earthly kingdom, the Roman kings, and it would break in pieces and consume all other kingdoms. Daniel 2, verse 44. God, through the prophet, spoke of the time and the place for the beginning of Christ's church. In Isaiah 2, verses 2 and 3, God declared, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, let us go up unto the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the Son of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." From this prophetic declaration of God through the prophet, at least three facts are established. First, the time of the beginning of the church is revealed. Secondly, God's house was to be exalted above all else, and all nations would flow unto it. Three, the place, God's house, the church, was to be established in Jerusalem. It should be observed that after the church was established, Paul explained that the house of God, to which the prophet referred, is the church of the living God. 1 Timothy 3:15. Other prophetic scriptures bear testimony to these facts, including Zechariah 1:16 and Micah 4 verses 1 and 2. In the New Testament, we read from Matthew 3:1 that in the days of the Caesar and the Herods came John the Baptist preaching, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The time of these kings was foretold by Daniel the prophet already quoted. According to Mark 1:15, when Jesus came, he declared, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand." In Luke the 10th chapter, the 70 were sent out to teach that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. The general time for the establishment of the church is very well known from these quotations, but more specific time and place are revealed. Having informed the disciples that he would build his church soon, Christ further declared to the apostles, "That are some of them that stand here who shall in no wise taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Matthew 16, verse 28. Again in Mark chapter 9, verse 1, he said, "That are some of them that stand by who shall in no wise taste of death till they see the kingdom of God coming with power." Now, friends, according to these statements, some of those men, the apostles, to whom Christ was speaking, would live to see the establishment of his church, the kingdom to which Peter had been given the keys, the kingdom which was to come with power. Specific instructions were given to the apostles concerning their waiting for the power of the Holy Spirit, which was to accompany the establishment of the church. After Jesus had arisen from the dead, just before he went back to the Father in heaven, he told his disciples, "Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be clothed with power from on high." Luke 24, verse 49. They were then to preach repentance and remission of sins in the name of Christ. All this is revealed in verses 46 through 48 of Luke 24. According to Acts 1, verse 8, the apostles were to receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you. Remember, these apostles were to wait at the designated place, the city of Jerusalem, for the specific incident of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Then they would be assured of the fact that the kingdom of Christ had come. The church would then and there be established. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the time and the place foretold by God's prophets, by John the Baptist, by Christ's disciples, and by Jesus himself with reference to the origin of his church. Reading from the second chapter of Acts, beginning from the last verse of the first chapter, we learn that these apostles, who were waiting as they had been instructed by Jesus, received the power from on high, the Holy Spirit, on the day of the first Pentecost, after the Lord's resurrection from the dead. The apostle Peter, exercising the responsibility given him by Christ, using the keys of the kingdom, stood up with the 11 and preached unto the people Jesus, preaching repentance and remission of sins in the name of Christ. The people heard the gospel story in its fullness for the first time. They heard the prophecies concerning the coming of the Holy Spirit and the Old Testament declarations concerning the Christ. Finally, realizing that they were the ones who had crucified the Son of God, they were so pricked in their hearts that they cried out unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "What shall we do?" The Holy Spirit gave Peter the inspired answer for this audience. He guided the apostle into the truth, as Christ had promised the Spirit would do. Peter commanded them in these words, "Repent ye, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for or unto the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts chapter 2, verse 38. The inspired record states in verse 41, that those who received the word were baptized, and that they were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. In verse 47, it is recorded, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Previous to this time, the church or kingdom was referred to as being in the future. But now the church is in existence. This was the beginning. The terms of membership in the Church of Christ were divinely dictated on this day because the church is divine. The 3,000 who were added to the Lord's church were added to the church when they obtained remission of sins. But they obtained remission of sins only when they obeyed the commands of our Lord as revealed by the Spirit through Peter. Only those believers who repented and were baptized for the remission of sins were added to the church. Acts 2:38 and verse 47. The remission of their sins is by virtue of the blood of Christ. Hebrews 9:22. All those who are saved by the blood of Christ constitute the church, the body of Christ. Acts 20, verse 28. It is a peculiar fact that almost all denominations distinguish themselves from the Lord's church by denying these New Testament conditions for remission of sins and church membership, especially in claiming that baptism is not for the remission of sins, in spite of Peter's inspired words to the contrary. The Church of Christ could not have originated before the death and resurrection of our Lord, neither could its beginning be yet in the future. The Church of Christ was founded on that first Pentecost after the resurrection of Christ. It was founded in the city of Jerusalem, where it began its great mission in the world. On that day, Christ sat down at the right hand of God, occupying the throne of David, and was made King of kings and Lord of lords, as you read in Acts chapter 2, verses 30 through 36. The Church of Christ is an everlasting dominion, a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. It is not a denomination. Are you a member?